Hi, this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Today is Sunday, August 8th, 2016, and today's title is An Alarming Trend, Educating Your Doctor with Propaganda. Yes, educating your doctor with propaganda. It's important to understand what propaganda is. You know, I first came here to Panama. I didn't understand Spanish. The only word I knew was hola. And so there was this message. I saw it on billboards and blaring on the radio with incredible urgency. And so I turned to a Panamanian friend of mine who spoke English and Spanish. I said, "Oh my God, what is the message saying? What do I have to do? It sounds really urgent." He says, "Oh, doctor, don't worry. It's just propaganda." And the word for advertisement in Spanish is propaganda. And so I just had to laugh at how seriously we in the United States take propaganda. So here is what propaganda is. It's information that is not impartial and is used primarily to influence an audience and further an agenda, often by presenting facts selectively, perhaps lying by omission, to encourage a particular synthesis or using loaded messages to produce an emotional rather than a rational response to the information presented. Okay, so so propaganda is associated with a manipulative approach. So that's propaganda. And so when your doctor is educated with propaganda, something that is intentionally misleading and biased, then obviously the information that he gives you is going to be misleading and biased, and more specifically, not especially helpful for your health. So tonight, we're just going to take one example, pretty big example, but one example of information. So it's in your doctor's inbox. First, I'm going to present you with the facts. When I say facts, I mean these are the facts as presented by the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and by .gov websites. So first we're going to go over the facts, then we're going to go over what your doctor is being told, and then we're going to see that the two don't really line up. And we're going to talk about the implications and what you should do. Okay, so here we go. What we're talking about is food-borne illnesses. Food-borne illnesses kill about 6,000 Americans a year. 6,000 Americans a year. To put that number in perspective, medical care in the United States kills 880,000 people a year. Not that anyone's going to live forever, but people's lives are cut short prematurely by medical care 880,000 times a year. People's lives are cut short by food poisoning, food-borne illnesses, 6,000 times a year in the United States. And so doctors are being told where to look for these foodborne illnesses and how to prevent them. And obviously, of course, this is going to inform what they say to people, to private citizens. So first, I want to take a look at what the CDC has to say. So the important thing that the CDC has to reveal here is, well, which organisms are killing people? What are the organisms that are literally responsible for more than 80% of all food-borne illnesses? And they tell us. Salmonella, Listeria, Noroviruses, Campylobacter, and believe it or not, our favorite one that may actually be in your home is the scratch cat illness, toxoplasmosis. So these are the organisms that cause more than 80% of all deaths each year due to foodborne illness. So it's a foodborne illness. It's an illness you get by what you eat or put in your mouth. Okay, so let's take a look, see what the CDC says, and talk about salmonella. Now, it's salmonella typhi, which is typhoid fever, or salmonella paratyphi, just to help you put this in perspective. So salmonella lives in the gastrointestinal tracts of animals, and it can grow over the temperature range of 7 degrees to 48 degrees Celsius. So it can live, you know, 40 degrees to over 100 degrees. And when we take a look at this, we can see that the way to get salmonella is to eat the feces of an infected animal. So in other words, animal products. The other thing to know is that salmonella can live in a pH between 4 and 8. This is very important to know because, as we mentioned earlier, the pH of a healthy human is 1.5 in the stomach. So obviously in a healthy human with a pH of 1.5 in the intestines, this salmonella is not going to be a problem because it survives pH is between 4 and 8. And so what foods can be contaminated? Well, food, animals, that means animals that are raised for human consumption, can become infected with salmonella from the feed and from the environment. So many foods of animal origin, such as meat, chicken, eggs, and raw milk, can become contaminated. It can also contaminate fresh produce via contact with infected animals or other environmental sources. In other words, most notably in the United States, food that's transported long distances, they'll take the meat out of the tractor trailer, which is contaminated with salmonella, and then they'll put in fresh produce, which then becomes contaminated, and then the people who eat that produce without cooking it, which usually you don't cook, maybe a lettuce or a tomato, will get a problem. Of course, the meat may not be as much of a problem if it's thoroughly cooked. Okay, so this salmonella has been isolated from tomatoes, lettuce, salad greens, peppers, sprouting seeds, fruit juice, cantaloupe, melons, and nuts. And so direct contact with these animals and their feces, or via food preparation surfaces and equipment for raw and cooked foods, all of these are ways of transmitting it. And just make a note, they say foodborne illness caused by an infected food handler is rare and is not the usual mode of transport. Okay, so that is salmonella. So obviously we can see that avoiding animal products is one way of avoiding salmonella. Another way of someone avoiding salmonella is to not eat lettuce or raw foods that have come in contact with salmonella. All right, let's take a look at listeria. So listeria is another big killer. And it lives in many habitats and has many hosts. And based on published information, they determine that recent practices increase the load within and transmission among certain populations. Let's call it humans. So one, extended refrigerated storage of ready-to-eat foods. So in other words, shouldn't buy ready-to-eat foods that have been stored for extended periods of time under refrigeration. So that's one cause of listeria. Next cause of listeria, feeding domestic ruminants, that would be cows, with silage, that would be stored feed, that's contaminated. So if you have an animal that's grass-fed, totally grass-fed is total life, you don't have this problem because the animal is eating grass, not silage. However, unfortunately, the term grass-fed does not mean the animal did not get silage during a portion of his life. So listeria is a problem in animals fed silage, which is contaminated. And any food that's raised using the dispersal of contaminated products of sewage treatment to agricultural fields and waters. This is a fancy way of saying that sewage from the cities is literally taken out to the countryside and spread on fields. Now, This is a practice that is hundreds, even thousands of years old. The proper way to do this, of course, is to take the sewage out to the city limits and have a specialized area for composting where the sewage rises to a certain temperature, sterilizing, self-sterilizing, and then, after a reasonable period of time, usually 90 days or more, where the sewage has achieved a certain temperature sufficient to kill all human microbes, it is then applied to fields. But this is not the case. This, what they're talking about here, is a dispersal of contaminated sewage. They say products of sewage, but that's sewage treatment to agricultural fields and waters. And so this is how people get listeria. So obviously, you don't want to eat produce raised with raw sewage. That's what they're talking about here. And you don't want to eat domestic animals, ruminants, that would be cows, that were fed spoiled silage. And you don't want to buy food that's refrigerated, storage for extended period of time in a ready-to-eat form. All right, so that is listeria. What about toxoplasmosis? Toxoplasmosis is very interesting. Toxoplasmosis is presented as a cat disease, where cats poop, and this poop ends up in a litter box. And supposedly the lady of the house changes the litter box, she gets toxoplasmosis from changing litter box, and then, of course, her babies become infected, and maybe she has miscarriages. So that's one way. Whoever changes litter box at the house is at risk here. However, what's not talked about is kitty cats poop. Maybe they poop outside. They have toxoplasmosis. And who eats the toxoplasmosis? The mice and the birds. And then you have domesticated pigs who also eat the cat feces. And so the domesticated pigs get toxoplasmosis, as do sheep in this particular example that they give. Now, you can also get toxoplasmosis from blood transfusions and organs that are donated. We're not going to mention that because that's not a very big route of transmission. But what's not communicated to people is that toxoplasmosis is easily transmitted basically in domesticated pork. We see this particular arrow here at the CDC. Okay. So, toxoplasmosis is eating undercooked meat of animals harboring these cysts and consuming food or water contaminated with cat feces. Or, now, food or water, this is interesting. So, in other words, water can be contaminated. In other words, municipal water or well water. By environmental samples, such as feces, contaminated soil, or, as I said, changing litter box. So that's the toxoplasmosis. Then we have norovirus. Norovirus infection is caused by eating, of course, contaminated foods, such as uncooked fruits and vegetables or shellfish, especially oysters, drinking contaminated water, or direct contact with someone who's infected. So outbreaks often occur in closed or institutional settings, such as child care facilities, schools, nursing homes, dormitories, and cruise ships. Interesting. Now, I should also mention hospitals because there was a hospital outbreak of this. The problem. These viruses are thought to be responsible for close to 90% of non-bacterial outbreaks of gastroenteritis around the world. So in the United States alone, this virus is estimated to cause 21 million illnesses. That's almost half of all gastroenteritis. 48 million people every year develop nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and fever. So this is responsible for 21 million of those and contributed to 70,000 hospitalizations and 800 deaths. So 800 of the 6,000 deaths are attributed to norovirus. There's currently no treatment for norovirus infection other than rehydration therapy. So just replace the water and electrolytes loss. This, by the way, is pretty much the case for the norovirus, toxoplasmosis, listeria, and salmonella as well. Many of these, there are antibiotics that can be used, but there's controversy over whether they should be used and how effective they actually are. And all of these illnesses have pretty much the same symptoms, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and fever. So the only way to distinguish one from the other is either the circumstances of infection or a culture or a test. Okay, so the next big one on the list is Campylobacter. Now, this is one of my favorites because, of course, we worked with this in medical school. We actually grew Campylobacter and isolated it. You might be interested to know that not one medical student developed gastroenteritis while culturing and handling Campylobacter, just for your information. So what does it cause? The usual: diarrhea, fever, nausea, vomiting. Classic. And, of course, cramping and abdominal pain for this one. So to prevent this infection, they say, you need to cook chicken thoroughly. So this is the chicken illness. So this one is characterized or feature of chicken. And so to prevent the infection, you cook poultry thoroughly, use a separate cutting board and utensils for meats, and clean them carefully with soap and hot water after use. Now, in our house, we only handle meat about once a month. So once a month, the live chickens are delivered. Yes. And they are slaughtered, and they are dipped in hot water, feathers removed, animal quartered, rinsed thoroughly, and put in different meal-sized plastic bags, and in the freezer they go. And so then the opportunity for infection is greatly reduced, because what happens? You simply take the package out of the freezer, open the Ziploc bag, put it in the stew pot, the top in a stew pot, and there you go. So there is no cutting board involved or shearing of cutting boards between vegetables and meats. And we do also have separate cutting boards for meats and vegetables. So how do you get this? Well, if you live in Utah, you can get it in your drinking water. Yep, contaminated drinking water. And this is interesting because this outbreak took place. And, of course, people were notified in a rather, you know, casual manner days after the first person fell ill. So what does this mean? This means that municipal water is not – drinking municipal water or limiting yourself to municipal water is not necessarily healthy. It's not going to protect you from foodborne illness. And so here they are. This is June 27, 2010, but these things happen all the time. And so last month, the city of Saratoga Springs, Utah, issued a boil water order after Campylobacter were discovered in the city's drinking water, and at least 15 people became ill with confirmed Campylobacter infection. In other words, you can't count on your municipality to let you know when the water is no longer safe to drink. It's just not going to happen. It's just not what they do. So, and they've got all kinds of, theories as to how this happened, but all you need to know is it does happen, and municipal water is not exactly safe. And so Campylobacter, again, is found in the gut and feces of animals and commonly found in or on raw poultry. And you just become infected by getting the bacteria in your mouth, and you eat contaminated undercooked meat, chicken, or you drink contaminated water or unpasteurized milk and or food that's been cross-contaminated with Campylobacter from raw meats. And again, transported foods. So foods that have been transported across state lines is actually one epidemiological marker for infection. Although less common, this can still happen. We'll talk more about that when we get back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking today about foodborne illnesses. This is a condition that kills 6,000 people a year, and the industry, medical industrial complex, that kills 880,000 people a year, is giving special instruction to doctors on how these epidemics come about and really what can be done to help mitigate them. So we're first going to arm you with the facts, and then we're going to go over what doctors are being trained to do. So we're talking about Campylobacter and person-to-person spread. This is something we're all told, okay, you got to wash your hands, there's an infected food worker, it's going to kill you, and everyone's got cooties, and don't touch anybody. But very clear about this. Person-to-person spread is less common. It can still happen when there's contact with microscopic amounts of feces from a sick person. This is very important. So what they're saying here is this is not doesn't happen very often. So if you're going to protect yourself by avoiding other people, then that's not really the better way to go. So if you avoid other people, you wash your hands, you still get infected because it's in the food, it's in the water. And so people are, incredible emphasis is being put on relatively ineffective measures here. Okay, so such spread may occur directly by close personal contact, got that, or indirectly by touching contaminated surfaces. These are called fomites. So fomite is a non-living object that has these bacteria on it. And when you touch these objects, you can get contaminated. Okay, so touching water faucet handles, toilet flush buttons, toys, and diapers. And so these are the places, if you're going to get it from somebody else, where you're going to get it. So obviously you should wash your hands after you touch any of these things. And what's the treatment? Fluid replacement. And of course, nothing would be complete if you didn't recommend an antibiotic. And so they're very clear. The use of antibiotics to treat Campylobacter infections is controversial, with studies showing that erythromycin, that's an antibiotic, rapidly eliminates Campylobacter organisms from the stool, but it does not affect the duration of the illness. You know, in any other line of business besides medicine, the fact that a therapy is clinically ineffective does not improve the person's outcome would be reason enough to abandon it, but not in the medical industrial complex. Can you imagine if car repair people were trained to do things to your car that just were useless and irrelevant? And so studies in children with Campylobacter jejuni, dysentery, I mean, it has to be in the small intestine, has to be a child, have shown benefit from early treatment with erythromycin. So what's early treatment? Do you treat them before they have symptoms? Not really clear. And so let's take a look. So let's take a look at what the CDC says. CDC says the top five killers are the ones we've talked about. They represent 88% of all deaths. And in an industry that kills 880,000 people a year, we definitely should not let them touch any illness that's not deadly. The other thing is, what foods are responsible for these deaths? And the CDC gives us that list as well. So if you take a list of foods, and they mention hundreds of deaths over a period of 1998 to 2008, that's a 10-year period. Number one, killer, chicken. Yep. Number two, killer, dairy. Number three, killer, vine stalk vegetables. So maybe tomatoes, for example. So one, two, three. So the top three killers are responsible for literally 80% of all the deaths. Well, it would be worthwhile to take a look at the bottom six killers, the ones that are least likely to kill anyone. Fungi, vegetables, that would be mushrooms. Oils and sugars, wild game. We'll go through the rest of this.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months, and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we looked at the top killers in terms of foodborne illness, but what would be more instructional would be to look at, well, the bottom killers. In other words, if poultry is the number one killer, followed by dairy, followed by vine stock vegetables, and those are responsible collectively for around 80% of all deaths, what about the ones on the lower end of the spectrum? What about the ones that are responsible for very few foodborne illnesses? Well, it turns out fungi, that would be mushrooms, crustaceans, that would be clams, lobster, crabs. Oils and sugars, believe it or not, are pretty low. Wild game, very low. And mollusks and root vegetables. So these are all very low. And so if you eat from these food groups, your chances of getting a foodborne illness is very low. In other words, only fewer than 50 deaths in 10 years can be attributed to these six categories collectively. All right, so let's take a look. Let's see what your doctor is being told. And this is turned up in your doctor's mailbox. And he received this on or about the end of June 2016. And so it says, a year of multi-state foodborne illness outbreaks. And so telling your doctor, foodborne illness is a common but preventable occurrence. And the CDC estimates each year about 1 in 6 Americans, 48 million people, get sick from foodborne illness. That's a lot of people. 128,000 people are hospitalized. And this, your doctor is being told 3,000 die of foodborne illness, but the CDC says 6,000. So those numbers are actually pretty close, even though one is double the other. They're not very big. Most foodborne outbreaks occur within just one state. Only 3% of foodborne outbreaks sicken people in multiple states, and yet these multi-state outbreaks caused more than half of all deaths reported in foodborne outbreaks in 2015 alone. So let's take a look at this. We have 3% of the outbreaks responsible for more than 50% of the illnesses. Well, this is huge. And these are multi-state, which means the food was transferred from a central source to many different states. And so that practice of transporting food across state lines, in other words, of using a truck to transport vegetables or meat followed by contaminated meat followed by vegetables, is part of the problem. So transportation. And foods that cause multi-state outbreaks are contaminated before they reach a restaurant or home kitchen. Which means it doesn't matter if you use separate cutting boards, you wash your hands. This is not going to prevent more than 51% of deaths because these foods are contaminated before they even reach your kitchen or the restaurant. So hand washing is not going to protect you because the food itself is contaminated. Investigating these outbreaks often reveals problems on the farm. Again, we mentioned the raw sewage. In processing or in distribution that resulted in contaminated food. Again, in distribution, we talked about that. That's using a truck to transport contaminated meat and then putting vegetables in the same truck afterwards without thoroughly washing or cleaning it, and then the vegetables were contaminated. Several notable and complicated multi-state foodborne outbreaks were investigated in 2015. These outbreaks were caused by a wide range of contaminated foods, including ice cream. Now, ice cream, as mentioned, is an example of a food made possible by long-term refrigeration and ready to eat, right? So it's in that category. The other thing about ice cream is it's dairy, one of the top three killers. Raw vegetables, sprouted nut butters, and Mexican-style restaurant meals. So let's take a look at these different categories. I want you to remember sprouted nut butters and Mexican-style restaurant meals. And raw vegetables. Remember those. We're going to see them again. So Listeria mitogenes is an outbreak, and there were 3 deaths, and it involved ice cream. And so they talk about a cluster of ill patients in a Kansas hospital. And product testing revealed that the source was a Blue Bell ice cream product served to patients. So this is contaminated ice cream served to patients in a hospital, killing 3 people. A reason, if you end up in a hospital, to have friends, relatives bring food. Do not eat hospital food. So this outbreak had 3 deaths. And so as the first multi-state outbreak of listeriosis linked to ice cream, it alarmed the ice cream industry. As a result of this investigation, Blue Bell Creameries, the ice cream manufacturer, recalled all ice cream produced at its facilities and took action to improve food safety, as if that solved the problem. Again, what they don't mention here, at most institutions, whether it's hospital, college campus, a jail, or penal facility, they tend to buy food from the lowest bidder. They tend to get the food that's of the lower quality because of the price motivation for purchasing, and the people doing the purchasing will never eat the food. That's a bad a bad situation. Call it a moral hazard. Okay. And they're saying that public health investigators use the PulseNet system to identify illnesses that were part of this outbreak, piecing together data from 5 years. So this gives us confidence. We say, wow, this is great. You know, they got all this fancy testing. It includes DNA fingerprints using the subtyping techniques, a pulse-fed gel electrophoresis, and whole genome sequencing. And it gives a more detailed DNA fingerprint than pulse field gel electrophoresis can, and shows whether isolates from people and food production facilities are related genetically. WGS, which is whole genome sequencing, was used to confirm that cases dating back to 2010 were part of the outbreak. The United States Food and Drug Administration and the National Institutes of Health collaborated with CDC in using this new technology. So this says in the doctor's mind, wow, these people know what they're doing. They got all this fancy testing. They must really know where these outbreaks come from. So that's what this implies. And let's go on to see about more outbreaks and see if we can get some facts. Salmonella puna and cucumbers. And so this involved 6 deaths. Cucumbers. So epidemiology, laboratory, and traceback investigations identified imported cucumbers as a likely source of the outbreak. Now, if it's imported from another country, that's definitely a lot of travel, more than across state lines. All right. 2 cucumber recalls took place. After peaking, the number of reported illnesses declined substantially, but not as fast as expected. An investigation was unable to determine whether the higher-than-expected rate of illness could be explained by cross-contamination by recalled cucumbers in shipping containers or at retail locations. So the investigation, with all this DNA typing and backtracking, they were not able to determine why the epidemic persisted after the cucumbers were recalled, although they offer the explanation, cross-contamination in shipping containers. Duh. And so this explains why eating food that crosses state lines is so deadly. Okay, Listeria mitogenes and soft cheeses, 3 deaths. They give you a case count, 30, how many states, it affected 10 states, hospitalizations, 28, deaths, 3. Again, this affected 10 states. So this cheese was transported from a central location to 10 different states. And this was not easy to solve. Several pieces of evidence were critical to the investigation. First, 67% of all ill people were Middle Eastern. And this provided a clue about the foods that could be linked to the illness. Second, the genome sequencing of isolates from ill people showed the cases were closely related genetically and probably had a common source of contamination. Finally, environmental testing at the dairies and cheese manufacturing facility confirmed that the soft cheeses made from pasteurized milk were the source. Now, another piece of information here. Pasteurization, pasteurized milk, doesn't protect you. And you can still have problems in contamination, even though the milk is pasteurized. Again, eating food that came from outside your state, a definite marker for deadly outbreaks. Here's where we get the propaganda. See if you can spot it. Shigella toxin producing E. coli and a Mexican-style restaurant chain. We'll use the name Chipotle. And Chipotle is a restaurant chain that health-conscious people tend to eat at because they tend to use fresher ingredients. And case count, 60 people were infected, 14 states, 22 were hospitalized, 0 deaths. I'll repeat that, 0 deaths. So how can this be a legitimate doctor education when you're looking at a disease that kills 6,000 people a year? And as an example, you give an outbreak that has 0 deaths. So here we have a propaganda issue. Okay, so the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Chipotle Mexican Grill worked diligently to determine the source of the 2 outbreaks. Interviews with ill people suggested a common meal or ingredient served at Chipotle restaurant suggested was a likely source. But food testing and a review of Chipotle's records did not identify a food item or ingredient that could explain either outbreak. Because the contaminated food could not be identified, whoa, stop right there. How scientific can this be? You can't even identify the contaminated food? So no contaminated food was identified in a foodborne outbreak, and there were no deaths. And so, because it couldn't be identified, CDC recommended that people contact a healthcare provider if they become ill with diarrhea shortly after eating at a Chipotle restaurant, so they could be interviewed to help guide investigators to the source of the illness. So in other words, how can you say it happened at the restaurant when you couldn't even identify a food that was contaminated, number one? Number two, we've got all this genome sequencing stuff, all this fantastic testing. So scientifically speaking, there is no scientific evidence that this outbreak occurred at this restaurant. Even though empirically, maybe many people who became sick ate at this restaurant. If you can't even identify the food, and the restaurant cooperated fully, by the way. I mean, unlike some presidents, they didn't take the fifth, you know, they didn't plead the fifth. They were totally open, cooperated fully, and no food could be identified. So this is like the Zika outbreak in Florida. No infected mosquitoes, but there's a mosquito-borne epidemic going on. And so here we have a piece of propaganda. Next, another outbreak with zero deaths, but we have information here. This is interesting. Multi-drug resistant salmonella in pork. And 92 cases, 5 states, 30 hospitalizations, no deaths. This outbreak began in Washington and was eventually linked to pork from a slaughter plant in that state. Ill people reported eating pork prepared in one of several ways. Multiple clusters of ill people said they ate pork at a whole pig roast. In other words, the pig might not have been fully cooked in the pig roast. The outbreak highlighted the need to prepare, cook, and serve whole pigs safely. Another noteworthy aspect of this outbreak, in other words, this is the food preparation issue, was that tests indicated the strain of salmonella causing the illness was resistant to multiple drugs, including, get this, ampicillin, streptomycin, sulfasoxazole, and tetracycline. Antibiotic resistance may be associated with increased risk for hospitalization, bloodstream infection, or treatment failure. Okay, so all of these people subjected to this outbreak lived. There were no deaths. Again, to use a non-deadly outbreak for physician education of an illness that kills 6,000 people a year, you have to scratch your head. So the question is, what are they saying here? What they're saying here is you shouldn't go eating whole pigs at pig roast. You should be buying your pig / pork directly from the grocery store. And so this is a piece of propaganda to help buttress up that industry. Another piece of information here is it came from a slaughter plant and a pickler farm that fed antibiotics to this pig. And so this pig was raised with multiple antibiotics, and it was resistant. And so an obvious way to keep from getting these infections is to, one, fully cook your pork, but two, do not eat pork that's been fed antibiotics, or beef, or any other meat for that matter, because it creates deadly strains and multiple drug resistance strains. And we can't really say deadly here. This is just inconvenience because there were no deaths in this epidemic. But we can see that if you're going to eat this kind of meat, you're going to be more likely to get an infection. E. coli and chicken salad. And this is a dreaded 0157H7. Case count, 19. Bottom line, deaths, 0. Okay, so this is important. 0 deaths. By the way, we haven't had any deaths from this dreaded E. coli. I remember there were some deaths in the 80s, but recently there have not been any deaths. And as you know, E. coli is not even among the top five of epidemics. So the top five killers, E. coli is not in the top five. So soon after investigators realized the majority of ill people reported eating Costco rotisserie chicken salad, the company removed all remaining chicken salad from its stores throughout the United States. When ingredients in chicken salad were tested, initial results found E. coli in the celery and onion blend. When we come back, we'll find out more about the celery onion blend.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others. And you're welcome to call in.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we're covering what your doctor is being told about health-borne food outbreaks. And so we can see here that focus is being placed on E. coli, an organism that has not caused a foodborne death in years. And so it's tough to train doctors in life-saving interventions when you base the information on cases, situations where no life was at risk. Okay. And so, although further laboratory test analysis could not confirm the presence of E. coli in the mix, so The initial results found E. coli in the celery and onion blend at Costco by Taylor Farms, but further laboratory analysis couldn't confirm it. So they tested it, test was positive. The confirmation test was not positive, meaning maybe it was not really there. So Taylor Farms recalled the blend out of an abundance of caution. In other words, even though there is no evidence that there was E. coli, they recalled the mix. So the FDA conducted a traceback investigation of the FDA-regulated ingredients used in the chicken salad, but could not identify a common source of contamination. No additional illnesses were reported after the actions taken by Costco and Taylor Farms. And so, again, we have a situation where the technology, as advanced as it is and expensive as it is, could not clarify or trace the epidemic, number one. And number two, the epidemic was not deadly. There were no deaths. But I guess with this example, doctors are telling people, hey, you know what? You shouldn't eat the chicken salad at Costco. Now, here's a good one. Salmonella paratyphi B variant in sprouted nut butters. They even show you a piece of toasted, probably sprouted grain bread with a sprouted nut butter on top. 13 cases, 10 states, no hospitalizations even, and no deaths. And so, obviously, since this is a small case, again, 6,000 deaths a year, and they pick a case count where only 13 people were affected. It happened over 10 states. This is less than one person per state that was affected. No hospitalizations and no deaths. And so they say nut butters have caused multi-state foodborne outbreaks, plural, over the past several years. In this outbreak, the epidemiologic data indicated that this raw brand sprouted nut butter spread was linked to illness. According to the manufacturer, the nuts used in their spreads were soaked and sprouted for 24 hours, after which they were dehydrated before being ground and blended into the nut butter spreads. Raw sprouts are a known source of foodborne illness. The fact that the nuts were sprouted before grinding into nut butter may have increased the likelihood that any bacteria present on the raw nuts were able to multiply. So again, we have here a case of pretty benign illness. Whatever symptoms people did have were handled at home, and none had to be hospitalized. So this is basically telling your doctor, hey, this raw food, sprouted foods, dangerous. Okay. Again, how do we know it's propaganda? Because zero deaths, zero hospitalizations, in an illness that causes 6,000 deaths per year, you would think they could find deadly examples.
I saw you there, just standing there, and I thought I was all.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.